Vaishnavas, it's a great pleasure to see so many sincere devotees here, always eager and anxious to please their lordships, Shri Radhishyama Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Shri Gauranitai. And it's a great fortune for me to be in your association and discuss the Atata Brahma Jigyasa, the subjects of the transcendental origins, nature. Thank you so much. And I am always at your lotus feet, ready to serve you in any capacity I can. So by the mercy of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Shishi Gauranitai, Shishi Krishna Balaram, and Shishi Radhishyama Sundara, we will read today from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and purport of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the formula of happiness. Everyone wants to be happy, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. So we have a formula for that. What to do? Yes. So for the pleasure of all assembled Vaishnavas guests, we will share the message of His of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jana Vallava Girivara Dhare Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhare Shodanandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashodanandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Munatira Vanachari Yeah. Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Bhagavad Gita ki yeah. Shri Shri Rajyama Sundar ki yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki yeah. Shri Shri Gauranitai ki yeah. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki yeah. Gaura Premanande yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Out of 700 shlokas containing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, there is one shloka, two-line shloka. Maybe someone knows just one shloka, special shloka, two-line shloka instead of four-line shloka. Out of 700, maybe someone knows. And we will read because we have not much time left. Should we finish at 6? Yes? Okay. Going longer than 6, I would get some curses because prashad is on starting on 6. Yeah? So, the shortest shloka in all Bhagavad Gita, just 2 lines from 4, 4th chapter, Transcendental Knowledge 31. The 31st shloka gives us a short sublime description what we have to do in our life just to be happy. And in this world, in these times, people have their different concepts of happiness. Here we go. Yes? Yes. Nowadays people have most of the people are educated, they know how to read, they are literate. And if you ask people on the street, do you want to be happy? Yes. Do you know how to attain it? Oops. Yes. Everyone has an opinion. But opinion is not a knowledge. Opinion is just subjective. So people try to achieve happiness according to their opinion, and usually they fail, ultimately. Die. Yes. We take birth, get sick, get old, and then die. Where the happiness is there, in between. Okay, let's read about this. Nayam lokostya yagyasya.
Nayam lokostya yagyasya.
Nayam lokostya yagyasya. Kutonya kurusattama. Kutonya kurusattama. Na. Never. I am this lokam planet. Asti there is ayagyasya,
for one who performs no sacrifice.
Kuta,
where is
anyaha,
the other.
Kuru
sattama,
all best amongst the Kurus.
Translation and purport of His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki.
O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? Purport. Whatever form of material existence one is in, one is invariably ignorant of his real situation. In other words, existence in the material world is due to the multiple reactions to our sinful lives. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of one's dragging on in material existence. The human form of life is the only loophole by which one may get out of this entanglement. The Vedas, therefore, give us a chance for escape by pointing out the paths of religion, economic comfort, regulative sense gratification, and at last the means to get out of the miserable condition entirely. The path of religion, or the different kinds of sacrifice recommended above, automatically solves our economic problems. By performance of yajna, we can have enough food, enough milk, etc. Even if there is so-called increase of population. When the body is fully supplied, naturally the next stage is to satisfy the senses. So the Vedas prescribe, therefore, sacred marriage for regulated sense gratification. Thereby, one is gradually elevated to the platform of release from material bondage, and the highest perfection of liberated life is to associate with the Supreme Lord. Perfection is achieved by performance of yajna, sacrifice, as described above. Now, if a person is not inclined to perform yajna according to the Vedas, how can he expect a happy life even in this body, and what to speak of another body or another planet? There are different grades of material comforts in different heavenly planets. And in all cases, there is immense happiness for persons engaged in different kinds of yajna. But the highest kind of happiness that a man can achieve is to be promoted to the spiritual planets by the practice of Krishna consciousness. So a life of Krishna consciousness is therefore the solution to all the problems of material existence. Nayam lokostya yagyasya kutonya kuru
Sattama. O best of the Kuru dynasty, Arjuna, without sacrifice one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next?
Om Magyanti Mirandasya Janjana Shalakya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitamena Bhutare Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Vidati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vitashri Vishakanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhamu Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalptur Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyahevacha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vishnavi Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, giving his valuable lessons to Arjuna, his dearmost friend and devotee, and Vaishnava devotee, he wishes him all the best, disclosing what is the formula of happiness. That this life is meant for performing the sacrifices, which would please the Lord. Sometimes if you meet a non-believer, he would say, I never met in my life God. I didn't saw him. I don't know who he is. So how can I believe him? One of the nice replies is, at least what Vaishnavas preach, is that the main point is to behave the way and to be pure in your heart, so much so that that would attract the attention of the Lord. So he would see you, not you see him. But we see in the Vedic tradition, in Vaishnava tradition, we have the deities which devotees worship as the Lord himself. So this is the question of eyes, is not the of consciousness. It's not the question of is there a God or is it not. Because like taking it from the point of logic, how can you deny somebody or something which has name or which has a term, God? Yes? If there would be no term, God, describing someone whom this term is meant for. So how there would be nobody to deny? We don't deny which we don't know or which doesn't exist. There is nothing to deny. But if some people deny something, that means that this somebody or something is existing. But some people just don't want to know him or don't want to admit his existence. And this is the problem. I remember this February I was traveling in Poland. I was going by train from one city to another, from Lodz to Wrocław in Poland. One program preaching to another. And devotees put into the train, and it was winter. So maybe some of you have experienced what is snow, what is snowing, what is minus temperature below zero, it's freezing temperature.
And that was the day.
We were going by train, and there was a small train, but there was like empty coach practically. There was only one laborer man who was a little bit drunken. Then there was a lady, Catholic monk lady, and that was, and myself in my Vaishnava robes. And I was sitting in front and I was chanting my japa beads during the trip. But at some point I heard that this man teasing the monk lady, telling her all the time, "There is no God." And she was becoming upset, and he was teasing him. "There is no God. I never met him. I didn't saw him. He didn't help in my life, nothing. What I have in my life, I earned with his hands, by my hard labor, by my sweat and blood, and God has nothing to do with that." So it was going for half an hour. He was like really on her case. And I was chanting my beads and I was thinking, "It's not my problem, don't pay attention, keep calm, it's not your business, just chant Hare Krishna, be happy." And I was not happy, because someone was just propagating nonsense, deep black ignorance. So at some point, I got enough. I just stood up, turned towards the man, I approached him and I said to him, "You know what? There is no sun." And he said, "What do you mean there is no sun? The sun is there." And I said, "Okay, show me the sun. I don't believe that there is the sun." And I was speaking like quite strong. "There is no sun." He said, "There is sun." I said, "Show me." He pointed to the window. I said, "What? I see the clouds, I see the snow. Where is the sun?" He says, "Behind the clouds." I said, "Yes, tell me. I don't see through the clouds. I don't know what's behind the clouds." He said, "No, no, there is a sun." I said, "No, there is no sun." He was looking at me, you know, with something on my forehead, dressed like not man, with a skirt. I don't know. What does he want from me? And I was shouting on him, "There is no sun. There is no sun." He says, "There is sun." I said, "There is no sun." So ultimately I told, "You know, you look stupid now. You think I am stupid, but you tell there is no God. I don't see sun, so I don't take your philosophy that there is sun behind the clouds. I don't see it. I don't experience it directly." So I told him, "When you speak to this monk lady, Catholic, don't tell her there is no God. If you don't see him, if you don't experience him, so better admit saying that in my life there is no God. That would be at least honest admittance, yeah? But tell her that in your life there is no God, because you don't see him, you don't experience him, and you don't want to believe in him." Okay, so from that point he shut up. I went back and I was chanting. But the story doesn't end at this point. We reached the ultimate point and we exited the train, and this monk lady, she was very happy. She was left in peace to chant her beads, her prayers. But that person was following me. He said, "Who you are?" I said, "I'm Hare Krishna." He said, "What is this? Why are you dressed like in winter time with a skirt? What's the style?" I said, "What's the problem? The Scottish men also dress with skirts."
So not only Hare Krishnas, there are people who wear skirts, not a problem. He said, where are you from? Because I was speaking Polish language with him, but he could understand I'm not a Polish man. He said, where are you from? I said, from Lithuania. Ah, I said, what ah? That's why you are Hare Krishna. I said, no, not everyone in Lithuania is Hare Krishna. Yet. So he was following, he was drunk, and then he was curious who dared to challenge him. So I preached to him, I told him something about Krishna consciousness, which he hardly could digest, I believe. Doesn't matter how simple I tried to give it to him, but anyway, I don't know. I hope so. That was a Bhakti Lata Bija or something which he got to care a little bit about Krishna. So this is our life. Yare dehi tarikaha Krishna Padesh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, just tell about Krishna. You may not call it preaching, just share. Share contents of your heart. If we are devotee, if we sincerely believe in Krishna, if we regularly read Krishna's words, why it's so auspicious to chant the Sanskrit? Because it was exactly like Lord Krishna pronounced that. These are exact words, exact language, exact letters, exact shloka, which was chanted by Lord Krishna. So by chanting it, we are getting association of Lord Krishna. So what does that mean? It's also a sacrifice. Why? Because we sacrifice the time of prajalpa. We sacrifice our free time of doing whatever I want. So-called materialistic freedom, yeah? If you ask people why you eat meat, why you drink alcohol, I am free to do whatever I want. Okay, so drop drinking, drop smoking. Well, I like it. Tell me the truth. You like it. Most probably you're bored in your life, so that's why you do those things. So what type, what kind of sacrifice Lord Krishna is promoting to Arjuna? What type of sacrifice? So, getting deeper into the philosophy, getting deeper into the knowledge, we found out that different circumstances, different times, there are different sacrifices to perform. And we know that for this time and age, for this Kali Yuga, the best, topmost, supreme sacrifice is Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then people ask, it can't be as simple. Just chanting, yeah? Srila Prabhupada was saying that everyone likes singing, dancing, feasting, celebrating, yeah? Everyone likes. But all this comes from spiritual tradition, not opposite. All the music, all the theater performances, all the arts are originating from spiritual culture and tradition. I believe someone in community knows the Indian dancing. Are there? I believe there are devotees. I believe there are in this community expert singers and players. This is where the art should be used to give pleasure to the Lord, to their lordships. Like the culture of Devidasis in ancient India was that the girl was marrying the deity. And her life, singing and dancing, she was doing that just for the pleasure of the deity. Can we imagine that? Nowadays, a superstar celebrity marries Krishna or Balaram, and all life she dances and sings and performs for the deities. Unimaginable, isn't it? Unimaginable. But devotees,
By the mercy of and blessings of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, reviving this ancient, eternal culture, acting for the pleasure of the Lord, not demanding, okay, Lord, come here, show up, show yourself, then I will believe you. No. No. For a devotee to accept that, the holy name of the Lord has the lotus feet. Tell that to the man on the street. If he asks what you do, you will tell, I'm performing sacrifices at the lotus feet of the holy name. Who can understand? What does that mean? You go to university to profess and tell him, oh, you know, I am busy with worshipping the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord. Man, are you crazy? But for a devotee, it's so natural, and he devotes all his life for that. Which means sincerely chanting the holy name of the Lord. So this is yajna. And what means yajna? I am sacrificing my desires, my egoistic desires, my bodily desires, my mental desires. Instead of chanting my non-holy name, I sacrifice my desire and I want to please the Lord. So the secret of happiness is to please Krishna. And what is the best way to please Krishna? Dasa, 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 anudas. Huh? So this is where we learn how to please Krishna. Pleasing devotees. Pleasing devotees. Just by serving them. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleased. Lord Nityananda is pleased. I remember back in 1982 when I bought Bhagavad Gita first time. I was already chanting for a few years Hare Krishna Mahamantra on my beads with no association of devotees. There were like very few. There were no place to gather together. There was no common programs together. So we just were hiding at our homes and chanting on beads. So I didn't know what I'm chanting. So back 1982, I bought Bhagavad Gita, paying half of my salary. So now what's average salary? 2,000? What? 1,000? So you pay $1,000 for Bhagavad Gita. Who of you are ready to pay $1,000 for Gita? No, it was announced you will get for free. Yes, if you bring this. Yeah, I paid kind of $1,000 for Bhagavad Gita. And guess what? It was not a book. It was just printed sheets. Yes, it was a roll. Yeah, printed sheets in a roll. And it was like big sheets with pages on it. And it was a roll. And the devotee who sold me, he said, this is your book. I said, thank you so much. And that very night, I started reading it. Yeah, I enrolled. I found the first page, and I read the first page. Then it came out that the second page is that sign, so I had to turn around and read the second page. And then I was looking for the third page. Oh, it's here. And I turned around, it's the third page. Then where is the fourth page? Oh, it's here. Then turn around. So all the reading was up and down, up and down, up and down. Okay, so one sheet is done. 16 pages done. Next sheet. So I read Bhagavad Gita like this. This was such a vacuum for spirituality in Soviet Union that time. So people were so keen and eager to read, to fulfill the desire of the soul, to fulfill the absence of spirituality, to fill the vacuum of the heart,
that we were ready to pay any money and to read in any way and any shape. And it was like a photocopy, so it was not like perfectly sharp, nicely printed Bhagavad Gita. Later on, I folded everything, cut the edges, sewed, put the cover only later on. But people were so keen. I remember later on printing first legal, official Bhagavad Gita in 1988. First legal Bhagavad Gita, which was printed by the print house of Lithuanian Communist Party print house. Yes. So the Soviet Union was cracking already, little by little, and there was no much propaganda going on during the Gorbachev's times. So these huge factories, print houses, which previously printing huge amounts of communist propaganda literature. Even Srila Prabhupada said that in Bengal, how was the communistic idea spread? By giving away the literature, the newspapers, the communistic propaganda. So there were no, and the employers had no job to do. So when I came up with the offer, print us 200,000 Bhagavad Gitas. 200,000 Bhagavad Gitas. They said, okay, we are doing it. Give us the paper. We don't have much paper. So I gave a call to devotees in Moscow. They sent me, I don't know how many hundred tons of paper. 200,000 Bhagavad Gitas. And guess what? There was no problem distributing them. They just melted. As soon as we printed, we just sent it all to Moscow and it just disappeared. 200,000 just disappeared. And now when I travel throughout like Finland, Poland, sometimes I find those Gitas in the shelves of the devotees at home. And recently I found one Gita, yeah, in Canada. The Russian devotees, emigrants, they have the Bhagavad Gita in their shelf, one of the printings, 500,000 printout of Bhagavad Gita. Can you imagine? I can't imagine myself now. One printout, half a million of Bhagavad Gitas. Who prints now such a amounts of books? So it's no surprise that the situation in this world is changing. Because it's like a person. Sometimes people say, okay, I have Bhagavad Gita at home, and next question confuses them. Then you ask them, have you read it? Guess what is the answer? 90% no. They do have. They said, oh, it's 20 years ago somebody approached me on the street. I took that book. Did you read it? No. So I'm telling them, this is a person. This is not a book. This is a person, Bhagavad Gita. So start building your relationship with it. Devotees know, especially neophyte devotees know what when they start reading Bhagavad Gita, whenever you open the page, you find the answer to your question. The exact question which is sitting in your heart, you just open seemingly accidentally anywhere. Wow! So we can see that the Lord reciprocates. And it's easy, and Srila Prabhupada in the beginning, in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, he says that through the mercy and blessing of a devotee, you can understand Bhagavad Gita, not otherwise. He have to introduce you to the culture of relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This book went through much of association.
Do you want one more story?
Yes.
Back in 1984, I was chanting my japa. In 1985, I made a vow. I took a vow. From now on, from 1985, June 1st, I am taking a vow to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on my beads for the rest of my life. There was no spiritual master to give a vow to. Nobody was coming and we couldn't leave. So I read Bhagavad Gita and I found the shloka Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sivaya Upadekshanti Tegyanam Gyanina Statva Darshinaha. Well, it said that just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Okay, I thought, where should I get the spiritual master? In Soviet Union. Behind this side of iron curtain. Yes, it was iron curtain. Nobody could leave and nobody could visit it. So I was breaking my head. Well, I stuck in my spiritual practice. Where should I get the spiritual master? So when I first found out the apartment where devotees live, one family of devotees, young family of devotees were living, I found out the address of the apartment because everyone was like doing that secretly. Nobody knew. There was no Facebook. You couldn't find, you know, who is practicing Hare Krishna, and you get thousands of names. No Facebook. It was prehistoric times. After Facebook, the life, civilized life started. So somehow, by smell and by seventh sense, I found out that the address of the devotees. I rang the bell, doorbell. They opened the door. Some young man opened the door. And first thing what I told him, I want to have a spiritual master. No hello, no I am this and that. I want a spiritual master. He don't know. This is a provocation from secret services, KGB or what? Yeah, it's never, nobody does like that. Boom, open the door. I want a spirit master. What do you want? So he looked at me. I looked young. I was like a school pupil, child. He said, okay, come in. You'll have a spiritual master. You'll have, come in. So he brought me to his apartment. He gave me prasad. He told me different aspects of philosophy. And I was regularly coming to him. That was Ganga Bhupada Prabhu, who is now living in Boston. So he was not caring for me. And I thought, okay, but doesn't look like I am getting opportunity to meet a spiritual master. So I got the map. I looked through the map where India is closest to the Soviet Union. And I found that there is in Middle Asia, there is a point where meets, I think, Afghanistan, China, India, and Russia. And I came upon one statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita at some point that, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a blind man can see stars in the sky, and the lame man can cross the mountains. Yes, this is what I needed. I was ready to cross the mountains just to get a spiritual master in India. And I was making my plans. I was making my plans to go there, to cross the mountains, cross the border, cross the Himalayan mountains. Now I know what a stupid idea was that, but then I was like really fired up. So fortunately, Prabhu Gorbachev, he came, he was elected as
as president of the country, and the devotees from the prisons were released. And in back in 1989, we had a great luck participate in the first delegation of Russian Soviet devotees going to India. So we were so happy when we embarked the plane, and none of us were flying before on the planes. So when we got on the plane, we started the kirtan. Yeah, kirtan. We did a kirtan right on the plane. And the plane was taking off. We're still dancing and doing the kirtan. So the plane commander, chief, he came out and he said, "You men, sit now, otherwise." So we didn't know that you have to sit, you put your belt, and then look through the instructions, what's to be done, what's not to be done. We just started kirtan and we went through. And the plane was taking off already. We are jumping and happy. And when we were landing in Calcutta, we saw that on the roof of the airport, His Holiness Japataka Maharaj with maybe 100 brahmacharis are doing kirtan on the roof of the airport. And then the fairy tale started. It was like going to the heavenly planetary system. So the continuation of the story next time I visit here. And this is all because of the mercy of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, whose power is so great, whose desire to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the three worlds is so great that even now, when He is not physically present on this planet, still people are joining Krishna consciousness. Can you imagine? Sometimes I compare, what is driving me to preach? Compassion, little bit of compassion, little bit of faith. But how big was Shraddha, faith of Srila Prabhupada, that even in his absence, still people coming and joining Krishna consciousness. It's beyond imagination. So to this Srila Prabhupada, I bow down again and again, offering my obeisances that he saved my life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Raj Shyama Sundar ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shri Shri Gauranitai ki jai. Prasad time ki jai. Gaur Premanande ki jai.